I'll be reading the Bible reading for you today, which comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. And this passage just comes after a bit where we find that Jesus is staying, he's eating with a Pharisee at his house, and he's just been telling parables about being humble and not glorifying yourself. This is where we leave off. Verse 15. When one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he said to his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nicola. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. For those who are new or just joining us, we are looking through some of the parables of the Gospel of Luke. And we've spent time looking at 2 of them last couple of weeks, and this is the 3rd one. Before we go any further, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for who you are. Lord, we pray, please speak to us this morning. Lord, may you take away any distractions that are there from us listening, hearing, and also, Lord, putting these words into practice. So we commit our time to you now when we ask, may our Holy Spirit be at work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder whether you ever had to do a guest list, perhaps for your wedding or a birthday or an anniversary. I came across this template, if you can read it, if you can see it. It is, should we invite them, like a template to decide who gets invited to your party. 15 years ago when we got married, we didn't have access to this. But essentially, you need to have a criteria, don't you, to see who is getting invited. What is the relationship? If they're close family, no questions asked, you get invited. Deal with them. Extended family, friends, co-workers, your gym mates, you need to apply this filter, right? And then you have the question, so do we invite their children? How about their partners? What about the neighbors? How far do we go? Next door? Do we go 2 doors down or do we go to the whole street? Perhaps the whole town. And then the important question, who is paying? Who's paying? Even without using this template, I think we managed to upset a few people because they didn't make our wedding reception list. I think they're still upset with us. we need to take some chocolates or something to appease them. 15 years later, imagine that. Today, we come to this parable in Luke chapter 14, the parable of the great banquet, the banquets of all banquets. And in this parable, Jesus is not talking about a wedding or just a party. He's talking about the kingdom of God, which is described as a banquet. And his question is, who will be in God's kingdom? Who will be in God's kingdom? Who will make the list? So let's look at the setting. As Nicola mentioned, Jesus is again at a dinner party of a prominent Pharisee. He's having this meal on a Sabbath day, and he's being watched very carefully. And if you glance through the first 13 verses or so, 14 verses or so, you will realize it hasn't gone really well so far, this dinner party. In verses 1 to 6, Jesus has started by breaking the law, according to the Pharisees, by healing someone on a Sabbath day. Verses 7 to 11, Jesus has insulted all the guests by criticizing where they sat around the table. And finally, verses 12 to 14, Jesus has offended the host by criticizing his guest list. And Jesus tells the host, instead of all the prominent, rich people who are sitting around this table, you should have invited those who are poor, the crippled, the lame, those who are blind, the outcast, the nobodies of the city. They may not be able to repay you or throw a party back at you, but you will be blessed, repaid in eternity. That's where your focus should be, Jesus says. Eternity. Being blessed in the kingdom of God. It's not even dessert time yet. Jesus has managed to break the law, offend all the guests, and offend the host of the party. And you can literally sense, don't you, the tension in the room. Nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to get in the firing line of Jesus. Have you been in parties like that? Like, everybody's tense, like, don't want to say anything. And then in verse 15, the reading that we had this morning, a man sitting at the table, probably trying to calm things down, decides to open his mouth. And he says, "Oh, Jesus, how good it would be, how wonderful, how blessed would it be for the person who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great day when we all get to go to heaven? Aren't we all excited for that day? Let's celebrate that. Who is with me? Raise your glasses. The food's getting cold. Pass the curry, pass the potato. Let's get the party going." You see, what this man said, there's nothing wrong with that, right? The great banquet is one of the images in the Bible often used to describe being part of God's kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6, we are told that to look forward to this. And then in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus anticipated this feast, didn't he? The people from east and west will come and sit at the feast of Moses, with Moses, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. And the book of Revelation has the same imagery. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said to be part of God's kingdom, this eternal kingdom, is like a man who found a great treasure in the field. And he goes and he sells everything he has and he buys the land. And he told that it is like a pearl merchant who's searching for this best pearl. And when he found the best pearl, he would go and sell everything he has, and then he buys this greatest pearl. The great banquet, the great treasure, the pearl of great price. They're all trying to tell us that the kingdom of God is the best of the best, isn't it? It is fully satisfying, incomparable. Once you're in, once you get it, you don't need anything else. There's nothing important. There's nothing superior. There's nothing valuable, nothing greater than to sit at the table of God, to be part of God's family, to be called a son or a daughter of God. So this man is correct, isn't it, in saying that it is the most blessed thing to be part of God's kingdom. But Jesus sees a problem, doesn't he? A problem in this statement. There is, I don't know whether you can sense, there is this level of arrogance, pride in his statement. He assumes that he and all his friends who are sitting around the table, they already have access to God's kingdom. Perhaps because they are Jews. The chosen people. They have the covenants, the promises, the prophets, the kings, the laws. And this set of people who are sitting around the table, they were Pharisees and who were strict law keepers. So they thought because of all that, they already had access. They thought they were safe. They thought they don't have a problem. But Jesus essentially turns around and says, that is your problem. You think you have made it to the list, don't you? But have you? Now let me tell you who will get to be part of God's kingdom. And he tells them this parable about a man who was preparing a great banquet. He has invited many guests to come. He has sent the invitation out, kind of the save the date, expression of interest, asking people to RSVP. And all these people have received the invitation. So the host gets to work. He does all the preparation, the arrangements, the food is ready, the house is decorated, the table is arranged, organized. Then we are told something shocking happened. When the time for the banquet was up, all the guests, not just one or two, every one of them decided to decline the invitation, making various excuses. One said he wants to go and inspect the land that he has just bought. Another said he wants to try out 5 yokes of bulls he has purchased. And the other one said, well, I just got married, I'm busy, can't come. Now the first thing to notice is how offensive it would have been to the host of this banquet. Especially in the Middle Eastern context, by turning down an invitation, especially in the last minute, they have insulted the guest, the host. The guests have put the host in great shame. Effectively disrespecting him. And by rejecting the invitation, they have actually rejected him. But then think about the excuses they gave. I mean, this is the banquet of all banquets. There's nothing compared to this. Once in a lifetime opportunity, perhaps, to have this kind of a banquet. It's like, imagine a concert that you wanted to go. The concert that you wanted to go, once in a lifetime concert. You've been waiting for the tickets. You've been waiting for it for years. And then you purchased these tickets 2 years ago. You waited for the page to go live, and then you kind of clicked, and you got the best seats in the auditorium. And you've been telling everyone, it's on Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram. Finally, the waiting is over. The day has come. Imagine your friend ringing you in the morning of the concert and saying, hey, I can't come today. Why? Because I've just bought a good pair of shoes. I just want to just try them out. Not going to come. Now, that's the most ridiculous, lamest excuse a person can give, isn't it? No one would do that. But that's what these guys did. You see, the land could wait. It was not going anywhere. The bulls can wait. He's already purchased them. The wife is not going anywhere. I mean, in fact, he could have taken the wife with him to the party. They all declined, giving lame excuses. And when the servant came back and reported these responses, I mean, the host, he got very angry, we are told. I mean, he was furious, won't you? After spending all that time and effort and thinking, putting this banquet together. And the master of the banquet does something extraordinary, right? He tells the servants, I'm not going to cancel this party. Go. Go to the byways and laneways and alleys and in the town and ask people to come. Invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, the outcasts to come in. And then the servant comes back and reports that it has been all done and there's still room in the house. The master orders the servant to go beyond the city limits, to highways and country roads, and compel them, make them come, invite them so that my house will be filled. See, the invitation now goes to the outcasts, the low castes, the nobodies in the society. People who wouldn't even know this host are now invited. Those who wouldn't usually be invited to the banquet, they're all here. They're all coming. And the house is full. And the master says, I tell you, not one of them who are invited will get to taste my banquet. See, they will miss out being part of this banquet of all banquets, not because they were excluded or their invitation was cancelled. No. They don't get to taste it because they've rejected the invitation. They made the choice to reject the invitation. So what is Jesus trying to tell this group of Pharisees who are sitting around the table? He's just now offended them all. And then what is he trying to tell us this morning, the lessons? I want to pick up three lessons. He asked the question, who will be part of God's kingdom? It is clear, isn't it? They are not the ones who have got the invitation or heard the invitation. They are the ones who accept the invitation and come. This was the problem with those who were sitting around the table, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, right? They were looking forward to this great banquet, this great day to be part of God's kingdom. They admired being part of God's kingdom. But when Jesus comes with the invitation, with the good news and saying, the kingdom of God is near, believe the good news, what did they do? They reject. They rejected Jesus and they rejected his invitation. And Jesus tells them point blankly. If you reject the invitation, if you have rejected the invitation, there's no right to the kingdom of God for you. And Jesus says the same thing to us, isn't he, today? There's only one way to be part of God's kingdom. It is by believing in Jesus, his death and the resurrection. It is by becoming a follower of Jesus we have access to God's kingdom. As the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 4, again to a group of Jews, and he says, there's no other name under heaven given to men by which they can be saved. The name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you've been part of a church or this church. It doesn't matter if you have been to or born to a Christian family. It doesn't matter if you have been to a Christian school. All the Christian connections you have doesn't really matter. All the studies that you have done about Jesus doesn't really matter. What matters is if you have accepted and believed in Jesus, isn't it? You see, friends, God loves us so much that he doesn't want us, any one of us, to perish. So he graciously sends Jesus to make a way so that we might spend eternity with him by believing in his death and his resurrection. He invites everyone to believe in Jesus. Sadly, hell is a choice that people make. We make the choice when we reject Jesus and his invitation. So where do you find yourself this morning? If you haven't accepted the invitation of Jesus to be part of his kingdom, you might want to ask yourself the question, what is my excuse? What is keeping me out of God's kingdom? What am I putting before God and his kingdom? Is it my wealth and possessions? Is it my work and other commitments? Is it human relationships? Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it my culture? Is it my previous beliefs? Am I willing to risk my eternity with God by clinging on to these earthly commitments and desires? Friends, see, God has opened the door into his kingdom. He has opened it wide open. And he's inviting everyone, but only those who accept the invitation can come and be part of God's kingdom. And one of the other lessons from this, the first point is, don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't allow anything in this life to get in the way of what God wants to offer you for eternity. Don't delay until you get better. Don't wait until your deathbed, because, you know, for some people it never comes, that opportunity. Do it while you can. Accept it today. And if you have accepted the invitation, if you have become a follower of Jesus, then you might want to ask yourself the question, have I made a public confession of my faith in Jesus? Have I been baptized? Am I living as a person who doesn't belong into this kingdom, but belongs to God's kingdom? Are my values different to the ones of the world? The way I live, the way I speak, the way I think, the way I treat my family, my neighbors, is it different? If not, where do I need to change? Second, reach out to the world. As we saw in the story, God desires that his house be filled with people who accept his invitation, right? This was God's plan from the beginning. It didn't start when Jesus came, no. That his kingdom be filled with people from different nations and tribes and tongues, from people from different backgrounds. Like the master who sent his servants to highways and byways and lanes and country roads, Jesus now sends us, his church, to the world. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to all creation. He sends us to difficult places and difficult people with the gospel to love and to share with people the good news that Jesus saves. With people who sometimes we think they're not worthy of the gospel. They don't deserve the gospel. Perhaps uneducated, hard to reach, people who we think they will never change. They are the people that God desires to be in his kingdom, because that's the deal with the gospel, isn't it? Jesus didn't come for the healthy people. No, he came for the sick. Those who are sinners. Those who are lost. And he wants to send us to the lost. Some of you are sent to your workplaces. Some of you to your own families, your schools and universities, your gyms. And you think you're there to work, don't you? To study and to get a good body. A six pack, maybe. You know what? God has placed you there as a missionary, as a witness, his messengers, his the ambassadors for Christ. And some of you, God may even call you to be going into another country as a vocational missionary. We must reach out. Because our God reaches out. Not to those who don't need him, but to those who are humble, those who need his grace. So we must. Finally, is expect a full house. There's a song that I like to listen. It is written by Stuart Townend. It's called The Vagabonds. Have you heard that song, The Vagabonds? It was written about 15 years ago. He reflects on those who would be at the table of this great banquet. I've got the words on the screen here. Have a look at them. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me and you. Come all you travelers, tired from the journey. Come all you questioners, looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen, come all you broken. Come those who worry about houses and money, and those who don't have a care in the world, from every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come all believers and dreamers and schemers. Come all you are restless, searching for home. Movers and shakers, givers and takers, the happy, the sad, the lost and alone. Come self-sufficient, with wearied ambition. And come those who feel at the end of the road, fiery debaters and religion haters, accusers, abusers, the heard and ignored. And this is the invitation God wants us to give through us, isn't it? Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. You see, friends, if God's kingdom is going to be filled with all sorts of people we've just read and more, then shouldn't we expect the church to be filled with the same kind of people? People who have accepted the invitation. That's their only qualification to be in his kingdom. People whom God has begun a good work, a work of transformation. People like you and me, incomplete. As we sang earlier in the service, the very first song that we sang today, we must welcome them with arms of love, compassion, grace, just like our Heavenly Father does. Accept, reach out, and expect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we are so thankful for your kingdom, where everything will be perfect. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for the invitation that all of us have received, and for those who have accepted the invitation, and you have accepted us into your kingdom. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who haven't yet accepted that invitation, may you be at work. Lord, please don't stop knocking on their hearts' doors. Lord, they may be our friends, our relatives, even our own spouses, our children. Lord, we pray, please have mercy on them. Lord, we pray for us, that we will be excited, Lord, about being part of your kingdom. We will live out the values of the kingdom, that we won't wait till we get to heaven, and we will start living them out today. Lord, that we'll be excited to take this message. Jesus invites us all, to those whom you have placed in our lives and to the places that you have placed us. And Father, help us to be a church that welcomes anyone and everyone who has accepted the invitation, trusting, Lord, that you have begun a work just like you have done in me and in all of us, a work of transformation. So we are so thankful to be part of your kingdom. Help us, we pray, to accept, to reach out, and to expect. In Jesus' name, amen.